I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Because sometimes you can double check on chapter 4 because we are the earthen vessels made out of clay. And
so what chapter are we?
Chapter 4. Okay. And the verse that I believe is the answer, you have two areas. The first one is number 16, or verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. So our troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. In other words, something that's going to last for eternity is much more powerful than a happy moment in your fleshy, emotional status that you and I live in. Okay? And that far outweighs them all. So why did Paul learn this and can write it down? Is because he's lived it. And, you know, he wrote it down for the church. And we are that church. Okay? So he says, 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. See, that's the solution. That's what Darlene pointed out. If you and I keep focused on what is seen, my wife sitting in the car listening to a CD that has literally busted me open for weeks and years, for her is absolutely useless. It will not touch and may never touch. But the eternal purpose of God in my life is not the eternal purpose of her life. Her choices and her commitment to say yes are different than mine. We are a church that is different because we are basically broken vessels being broken more deeply than many. And I'm not trying to set us up as we are unique and, you know, we're the better. And that's BS. We're not better. We have been chosen by God to go into a depth of brokenness in order for his purposes to be accomplished down the road, whatever that purpose is. Okay? And he's made that very clear. And we can't look at the past as, oh, our future solution is to do this and do that and do this and do this. That's all logic. Logic ain't going to cut it. St. Paul's coordinates, in fact, that's part of what Ron and I were talking about yesterday. And I said, you know, we have to be so careful not to look at the seen areas or the natural area. Because the minute we start focusing back on natural stuff, we're off course. And we fail. And that's what St. Paul has already learned. Well, if he learned it, it's our turn to what?
Learn it.
Sometimes walk through it. Because that's what we're describing. Okay? Every one of us has been chosen to walk into a place of brokenness. The fire that goes on in our lives is ordained of whom? Him. Mm-hmm. Not me that decided that, you know, I want to put some, you know, fire and chaff being removed from you guys. This was God's doing, you know. And that's what I see. 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. So the seen part, the visible stuff, has a purpose. You know, it is important for us. But if it becomes our focus, we're going to fall apart. So God is really pushing our buttons to go higher, and it's not always comfortable. Okay? Yet we have a tendency to say, will I ever get any relief?
Yep. Amen.
Okay? And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, you know, these experiences are ordained of God, and I believe he took me through those things to help you through yours so that you no longer feel, oh, I'm the only one. And the victim mentality, you know where that can take you. It'll take you to hell itself.
That's for sure.
Okay? And you know, when you're sitting in self-pity, the other night, Irene is laying on the couch with the leg up and the ice pack and so on and so forth, and she's three-quarters asleep, so I thought. And I'm watching Joyce Myers. And all of a sudden, she goes to the extreme of her self-pity rides, and she's hugging the toilet bowl. And I flipped. I literally flipped. And I started to laugh, you know. Of course, I woke her up. So I said, honey, I need to have you put your glasses on. I says, you need to see. She said, I've already heard her. Well, there we go. All right. I said, but you need to put your glasses on. I'm going to back this up because you need to see what she is doing. I told you, I already heard it. So what does that sound like? But I didn't get offended. I said, I'm going to back it up. She says, okay. So she sat up, turned around a little bit. And then when she saw her hugging the bowl and crying, the whole drama situation.
So this was a DVD then?
Yeah, it was part of Trinity's highlights of 2014.
2014, yep.
Well, now the two of us are laughing, and she says, I never saw that part before. So, but what am I saying? You know, that was a highlighted moment. So I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12.
Oh, I know where you're going. He's taking me there.
Verse 25. You know, this isn't going to be what you call a very long message, but I believe that the purpose of our uniting is to see his ultimate goal is to lift us higher than we've ever been before. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. Well, is his voice shaking your earth? That's the body. Okay? But now, he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this, when I read it again this morning, I said, Lord, this is no different than what Gino preached 30 years ago. Gino would constantly be pressing me. Kim, the heavens are the emotions. It's the mental realities. God is shaking in that area. You don't like it. Well, I didn't. He was right. However, my understanding of what he was going through was not my focus. I was focused on who?
Yourself.
Right. So he was trying to get me to see what he was going through, and I had no eyes to see that. I had no ears to understand it because I had an expectation that he was up here and I was down here. That was a mistake I made. Finally, over the years, he showed me, you don't know where he's living. Your expectation that he's up here is wrong. Well, when he was very ill, I remember going to visit him at the hospital, and we were alone in a private room, and we had an incredible conversation. And we had had several conversations over the phone about circumstances that he could not change. And I was starting now, though the scales were falling off of my eyes, about the difficulties that he had been experiencing and that he was living through. Plus, the Holy Spirit at one point said to me, listen carefully to what he's going to tell you today because it's going to give you a breakthrough. And I remember our conversation was on circumstances that were very important. And he said to me, Kim, I know the weakness. That doesn't mean I have the ability to overcome it. He's aware. So we had a heart-to-heart that day, because there was 10 years difference between us, okay? But I looked at him as a father. And I mean, that's just where I was, because my earthly dads never had the commission from God that this man had and had been there for me when I needed. And the Lord said to me, I remember driving away from the hospital, saying, do you see now the limitations? Do you acknowledge that, you know, you can't push in that area anymore because you're going to offend him. He's already hurting enough. So I learned that the Lord was shaking his heavens as much as he was shaking mine. Well, that put a different perspective on my response and my expectations. And I said to the Lord, okay, now you're showing me that I can be a support to him. Because of some of the things that I had been through, even though I was 10 years younger, I had overcome because of God's grace. That didn't make me better. Mm-hmm. But in that one area, I had become the overcomer. I was no longer bound by what he was still struggling with. And to be honest, even when he went home with the Lord, just a few days before when he went home, he said, I would love to be able to be what you've become. He didn't use those particular words, but I'll tell you, I wept. And he said, if I've accomplished something by my example, and I started to cry and I said, Gino, there's nobody that could be as honest with me as what you have been. And I respect whatever decisions you have made. I know that I know whatever you've chosen is perfectly okay. I was able to let it all go because there were many, many disappointments. And so again, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things. The mind is a created thing. We didn't come from our parents without flowing with some of their weaknesses.
Amen.
Those were created things. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. What cannot be shaken? Everything in your spirit cannot be shaken. That can never be removed or irritated by circumstances where you cannot be overcoming. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So that consumption of what I knew at that point, I needed to see and walk in a place I had never really walked in. I wanted the example to stay in front of me so that I could be a follower. And now the Lord was saying, you're going to have to walk on your own. And I'm expecting you to walk on your own. What you've been depending on was for a season. See? And I was expecting many things in order to keep on flowing in those levels. But then as I kept going forward, the rug got pulled again and again and again. And it was intended of God. So, you know, I had to look at it from the eternal. I sometimes lose vision of the eternal, just like everybody else. I keep putting one foot in front of the other, sometimes just as sheer choice, not an emotional choice, but literally a physical choice, and recognizing that, you know, the eternal things that he's already put in front of me are already in me, and those things that are next to be blossoming, not just in me, but in you as well. See, we are growing in our knowledge of the Lord. We are growing, and less groaning is going on, if that makes sense. We're not complaining as much. We're recognizing more quickly what's in process. And when you start feeling some of the fire, well, yeah, there might be a little bit of actions and reactions, but it doesn't last as long. Am I making sense? So you've got a picture now of the progression that God is taking his church. Because it's not my church, it's his. I didn't start this thing. I did not start it. And I have proof of that when I go back to that dream that Chuck had in 92. Did I think that the church was then something in God's heart? I had no clue. I never heard the dream until, what, 2005? Six? That's wild. But that's what I was sharing one day when I called Linda. I said, Linda, you have no idea how precious that piece of the puzzle is. You know, it's just very wild. So we need to be aware that, you know, he is in the progression of changing us and not giving us, let's say, more than we can handle. And therefore, we'll go back to verse 16 of chapter 4. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Inwardly renewed, not just once in a while, but every single day. And if you and I keep a track of what he's doing, every single day there's an awareness of his presence, of his manifesting in the least little thing sometimes. It's going to be so tiny, you know? And our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. That gives you a purpose. That knowing, that eternal glory will manifest when you least expect it. This week, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, my grandson had my gas tanks filled up. And I really had no time. I was feeling so rotten because of the infection that was going on. And there was a virus in my lungs, and I mean, I kept coughing up white garbage, and I just couldn't start the fireplace downstairs. And I didn't, as soon as I would put my head down, I would get kind of dizzy. So I'd say, well, I can't do it today. And you have to hold the pilot light so that the gas will come to it so that you can light the pilot. Before you light the pilot, you can't turn the heater on. Well, Irene came home from the hospital. We took care of all the details that needed to be done upstairs. And God was so good, because there was no snow, I was able to drive her right to the back door. So the next day, the Holy Spirit said, you can bend down today. Well, now that's kind of cool. Good. So I took my flashlight and I bent way down, and I had not put the button at the right place because I couldn't see, because the button is down maybe about 6 inches from the ground. So now I'm laying down on the stone, and with my flashlight, it's, oh my God, I never put it at the right space. You know, so if you don't have it just at the right space, you can't light the little lighter. Oh, Lord, this is so good. Thank you so much for today. Because I had tried several times, but no, couldn't do it. So within 3 minutes, the pilot light was on, the heat was on, and I sit back. And I have my recliner. I turned it around facing the fireplace, put a light on, put my Bible on my chest, or my lap. And I started to thank the Lord for all the little things, you know, that he had done, that, you know. And of course, all of a sudden, I went into the heavens. And I had an instant recall. And it was of St. Paul, where he manifested in front of me, and my eyes were wide open. And I had just heard somebody, Paul Keith Davis, I had listened to him on one of the messages. And he was talking about when God opened his eyes and what God showed him with his eyes wide open. And, of course, that happened to me. So, you know, even if it's 20 years, it's not a matter of seconds. It's right back. You know, you're right there. You're experiencing it. And you're reliving that moment. And he pointed out in his comment, and here I am sitting in front of that fireplace, and I said, Lord, that experience, that glorious moment that you gave me that lasted maybe an hour and a half or whatever the numbers were, because I don't remember most of it. All I remember is my focus. And here was Jesus in the back of the room and never looked at him. Afterwards, I said, that moment of glory has given me courage when I had none left. That moment of him opening my eyes to see the other side has given me a boost of grace when I had no choices left, where everything was just down to the edge and you just wanted to give up. And then the Holy Spirit would bring these little things back, you know, like a little flashpoint. Look what I've done for you. And Paul Keith said the same thing. He says, you know, there is no way that I can describe how deep that experience was, and how to describe it is impossible unless you've lived it. And then this eternal glory, as I began to read this, I remember sitting at Grace Church on a Wednesday night and the whole room was changed. And the glory cloud was in the middle of that sanctuary. And I mean, the heavens opened up and the roof was gone. And the heavenly lights were there. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. So he's given me so many things. That's why that picture's on the wall in that little office there. And you see the photograph of the church without walls. That's what that building was designed to do, was to manifest the glory of God. Now, why was I a part of it? Because he wanted to invest in me something to take me to the victory, to take me to the finish line. And those things that you have experienced, they're going to take you to the finish line. It's not an accident that we're just a small group today. We're starting a new year, but it's going to be triple grace. I believe that came out last Sunday. Triple grace. Now, you say, well, a double anointing is all I've ever heard of. I think I've received sometimes triple grace in order to take me to where he wanted me to be. So if yours and my focus is only on the seen, we're both, or all of us, are in trouble. The eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Outweighs all the troubles, all the heartaches, all the disappointments, all the tears, all the divisions that have taken place. All of those that never met yours or my expectations. 18. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen. So would you repeat that with me? So I fix my eyes.
Fix my eyes.
Not on what is seen.
Not on what is seen.
But on what is unseen.
And what is seen
is truly temporary.
Is truly temporary.
But what is unseen
is eternal.
And it is visible. If God opens my eyes. And I'm jealous, Lord. I want to see that realm.
I want to see you manifest
in this house
what you've shown others.
Because you've got a plan. But
without the vision,
my people perish. And I don't want to fail. And I will not fail.
And I will not fail.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I will receive.
I will receive.
The things I need.
The things I need.
In 2015.
In 2015.
To make it to the finish line.
To make it to the finish line.